The Hard Shoulder on News Talk
with Nissan. Let's go the distance by keeping our distance. Nissan. Innovation that excites.
Well, yesterday evening, the Minister for Health, in conjunction with the National Emergency Public Health Team, have expressed their concern about nursing homes. There's about 550 in the country. I think there's 25,000 plus residents. And I've seen different reports between 24 and 32 of them having clusters. Now, there's been calls, HICWA is going to assess nursing homes across the country for their particular needs. But one of the concerns is in relation to staff and getting replacement staff for those who are either isolating or ill. Joining us on the line now is Mervyn Taylor, Executive Director of Sage Advocacy, who has said that the On Call for Ireland campaign, which is to bring home or rejoin former health workers, 60,000 people joined, should include nursing homes. First of all, welcome, Mervyn. Tell us, what is Sage Advocacy?
Thanks for taking me on the show, Ivan. Sage Advocacy is a support and advocacy service for vulnerable adults, older people and healthcare patients. And our key concern at the moment is that the fantastic response to On Call for Ireland, which was a triumph, one might say, of national solidarity, 60,000 people answered it and signed up to support the health and social care services in the face of the biggest public health emergency since 1918. But we want to make sure that those people who signed up, they didn't just sign up for the HSE, they signed up for to help all of Ireland. And that includes wherever a crisis is, and it includes the private nursing home sector.
Well, take a listen to Tadhg Daly, Chief Executive of Nursing Homes Ireland. He spoke to News Talk Breakfast about the strain on nursing home staff are under and delays in testing, and how nursing homes haven't been a priority.
What we would have seen is the lack of prioritisation by government in respect of the 25,000 older people that reside in nursing home care. And I mean, the big ticket issue for us at the minute, if you like, is the issue of the testing of healthcare workers. We have reports from right across the country from our members, delays in testing. And what that means is that we have staff in our sector who are showing symptoms, possibly, have been tested or are awaiting testing, and sometimes are out for 10, 12 days waiting to return to the front line, which is putting a huge strain on the system at this point in time.
Tadhg Daly there. What anecdotally are you hearing in relation to staff shortages?
We're hearing quite mixed reports, but overall we would be very concerned. I suppose if we have time, Ivan, if I could just break our concerns down into four sort of areas, not necessarily all related to staffing. But first of all, there are the people who are not in nursing homes who need to be in them. They're vulnerable people who are asymptomatic. They require urgent access to a nursing home because their home care supports aren't available or are insufficient. And people in this category are currently not priority for testing for C19. And of course, that would be a condition of for them to get in to a nursing home. So that's the first group. So testing is an issue for people who need to get into a nursing home, but they're not priority at the moment for testing. Now, the second is people are in nursing homes who are understaffed or sharing staff with other care facilities, and where the levels of nursing skills, and I think that's particularly important, where the level of nursing skills, including palliative and end-of-life care skills, mightn't be sufficient. The third group of people that we're concerned about are people who've already been transferred out of acute hospitals in the last few weeks into nursing homes with transitional funding. They would have gone home had supports been available. But in a few months' time, the issue won't be just care, it may also be custody, because they may not, there are people who very often don't want to be there, but it's a transitional arrangement. Now, we're just today kicked off a project supported by the HSE for the protection of liberty in places of care. So that's a third dimension of people. There are people wanting to get into nursing homes, people needing the high level of care, people who will want to be getting out of those nursing homes after this crisis, the first wave of the crisis passed. And the fourth group, I think, is really important and has been forgotten about, is people in old institutional buildings with open Nightingale wards. The care can often be very good, but the government has twice given a derogation from HICWA standards for these public facilities. And the problem has been kicked down the road for too long, and we've probably now run out of road.
Right. Those are your four concerns, one of which was skills shortages. What are you referring to there?
Well, I think one of the things that concerns us is the extent to which, I don't know if we have time to go into it today, but the private healthcare sector has developed without any clear policy, private provision of nursing home care. It was never a policy option formally written down. And I think what we're seeing here is that it's been forgotten about. It's been out on a sort of limb. And that was the issue that we expressed concern about at the weekend. And hence, and linked to that, we had other meetings with NHI, the minister, yesterday. But there is an impression out there that because they're called nursing homes, they're largely staffed with nurses. And that isn't generally the case. So it would be the issue here, is that HICWA is the regulator, but it doesn't currently have requirements for minimal levels of staff need mix. And that is something that will have to be looked at when this current phase of the crisis is over.
Is there a particular concern about palliative end-of-life care?
Well, there always is, but my background was, before my current job, I worked in developing the Hospice Friendly Hospitals programme. And I know that a lot of nursing homes have been involved with the Irish Hospice Foundation and others in developing their palliative care skills. And there's a CHOL programme currently run by the Irish Hospice Foundation. But the problem about it is that for some of the issues, you need a higher level of skills than basic palliative care skills. And there would be an issue. One practical issue has been fed back to us today is that some of the palliative care teams, they would be specialist palliative care teams in the community, have perhaps concerns about personal protective equipment if going into some of the nursing home care situations. And there's also the ratio of nurses that would be with the right skills available. And I think it's useful and it's encouraging that at the meeting or arising out of the meeting with Nursing Homes Ireland yesterday, that I see that in point five, training in the use of personal protection equipment, oxygen, palliative and end-of-life care, pronouncement of death. So those are, and promoting of advanced healthcare directives. So those are things that are positive things that have come out of yesterday's meeting.
Yeah, what I don't understand, if you're a nurse and you're one of the 60,000 and you register with the HSE to come back, if it's a private nursing home, you know, the complexity with private sector employment and public sector employment, how would that actually work? I mean, if they put you in James's or Vincent's or Sligo or Wexford General Hospital, I can understand how that works and you're, you know, temporarily employed by the HSE. Whereas with a private nursing home, how will that work if you enrol for what is essentially a public employment role?
Yeah, I wouldn't. I mean, this is a time when we don't want to get caught up in public-private demarcation lines, and I think that's not the intention. But I understand your point, Ivan. But I'm looking at the communique arising out of yesterday's meeting with Nursing Homes Ireland, and it talks about stronger governance arrangements related to infection and outbreak control, teams in each community health organisation of the HSE to provide medical and nursing support and crisis support teams. So it would be possible, I suppose, to answer your question, for people who have answered Ireland's call who are nurses and with the right skills could actually be associated with one of the community health organisation's crisis support teams. So that if, for example, if there's an outbreak in a cluster develops in a nursing home in Mullinahone or Mullinavat or wherever, they can come to that place and lend their support, almost like a sort of a caring flying column.
Right. So the other thing that puzzles me is if someone gets the virus and they're in a nursing home, will they automatically be moved to a public hospital? How does the procedure, the protocol work?
I don't know exactly. There are protocols there that are being developed. There's probably one being developed in the last day or so. And to be honest with you, one of the problems at the moment is trying to read, catch up with everything. But, I mean, the question would be, why do you need to be transferring somebody in unless it is really critical? Now, the issue is, can we get the care, if you have a cluster of people with C19, I think the issue is better to get the care to that cluster rather than bringing that cluster into an already crowded acute hospital. Now, I'm not a clinician, but I'm just making a general point there. So you need to bring the oxygen on all the skills. This is where the crisis support teams that were talked about yesterday are so important.
Okay. I just wanted to ask you about visitors.
Sure.
I mean, is there a blanket restriction on all visitors of where there's a cluster?
I would imagine that that is the case. But I mean, like, you have to allow for the fact that there have been deaths in nursing homes, and it's an extremely sensitive time, and some family member is being allowed in at end of life. I mean, if you take a nursing home with just 50 residents, and that's a small one, and allow for the fact that a few people may have no one, and some may have family divisions and poor communication, this can mean huge pressures. Just answering the phone to all the concerned family are not allowed in to visit. It's bringing incredible pressures. So just even getting the phone answered is because the number of calls are gone through the roof. But it's also at the end of life. This is not just the end of a care relationship. Staff and residents have effectively lived together for on average 2 to 3 years. So it's often the end of a friendship, and we need to bear that in mind.
Indeed, indeed. Well, it's a very important aspect of it, given the profile of the illness and the impact that it has on older patients. Mervyn Taylor, Executive Director of Sage Advocacy, calling for detailed measures in relation to the staff who volunteer for the on-call for Ireland to be deployed to community nursing teams, including inside nursing homes.
The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk
with Nissan. Together, let's play our part by staying apart. Nissan. Innovation that excites.